Thank you for coming, Wendy. Wendy is a friend. Wendy is a voice of hope in our house, in our history. She's part of our history. We were joking this morning how she's been here when we met outside because of the pandemic. She's been here when there was smoke in the air so much that we were like, do we really sit outside at this restaurant or do we need to be inside? She's been here in the rain. She brought the rain this time again. And we just have such a place for you in our heart. We welcome you with open arms.
Even got to be here when you guys were commissioned.
Oh, yes. As
I was part of that. I think the only thing I haven't seen here is snow.
Yeah. Bring it.
Wow. Yeah, and Melinda LaHaye, you guys are going to love her. I would be surprised if Phil and Lisa don't invite her and her husband to come, because they are so anointed. Their testimony of how God changed their life is so transformative. It's just crazy. And they're both highly prophetic dreamers. We were laughing because somebody had shared a testimony on a video we were watching about. It was two twin brothers, and they slept in the same room. I think they were like older teenagers. And when the guy who was sharing the story said he has this dream, and he was crawling through a hole and got to the other side, and there was all these chairs and people chanting, Jesus, Jesus. And he wakes up from the dream, and he looks over at his brother and realizes his brother's awake too, and they look at each other, and the other guy goes, I just had a dream. I crawled through this hole, and there was all these chairs for as far as the eye can see. They had had the exact same dream at the exact same time. And so I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. And Melinda's like, oh, yeah, Peter and I have done that. So good to be back. You know, I keep prophesying things, and that we haven't seen the manifestation yet here. And I'm like, God, you know, is there anything else I can share prophetically? And he goes, no. He's still on this place. And I almost had kind of a word of warning. If you don't want this church to grow, now is the time to leave. If you're comfortable with just a small group. And I felt like I was supposed to... Has everybody here heard me? I'm just trying to gauge... Okay. So they know I'm weird. just like most of you guys here. I felt like I was supposed to awaken the neighborhood and they would start streaming through your doors. Not by anything you're doing, but just there's angelic activity awakening the people who are tired and weary, and they want to get out of darkness, and they're coming here. So prepare. So if you'll just close your eyes, I'm going to pray. Declare. Father, I thank you that there is an awakening spirit that is awakening the hearts of the unbelievers, those who are searching for something. They've been involved in New Age. They've been involved in drugs. They have tried to find comfort in places that have brought no comfort and no relief and no freedom. And so I say, awake in Jesus' name. Awake, awaken now in Jesus' name and come. I release you from the bondage. I release you from the cloud of confusion over your mind. And I speak to the darkness over your homes. And I say, go in Jesus' name. And I release the light of God. And their eyes will begin to see the light that is shining in this place, that this is a place of hope and freedom, and that there is going to be new ministries raised up out of this place. And during worship, I got the word, and I had to look up where it was at, and it's in Isaiah 11, when it talks about there's a day coming when a child shall lead them. And I felt like God said, even those of you who do not feel qualified to lead all these people coming in, even a child will lead them. You're qualified. It's going to be huge. And you're not going to... I know you guys like this place, and God's given you favor here, but you're going to have to start looking. It's a new season. Don't let this just, you know, oh yeah, another good word. That start believing it, start preparing for it in your heart. Because it's going to be a lot of people that need freedom. Yeah. And, you know, there's a resurgence in the traveling that I've done lately and talking to different people. There's a resurgence on discipleship. And at first I was like, oh, no, God. I was almost killed by discipleship. Because it was just a front for performance. And one of the things that has really hit me is this phrase, it's about connection, not perfection. You don't have to be perfect in your performance. It's if you're connected to Him, that's all you need. That's it. And there's this dependence on His presence. And Melinda and I are, this morning, we're getting into this prophet guy on YouTube. And I can't even pronounce his name, but he's really interesting. But he's talking about the difference that, and I've heard Bill Johnson say this too, that the Holy Spirit is in you for you, but He's upon you for others. And we need that, that's how we get the connection, is because He's in us and we're in Him. But we need to begin going after Him upon us. Because they need to see the power. And that when He's in us, it's the power for us, but when He's upon us, it's the power for others. And just going after that... I believe that this next season, I think God's on discipleship, but we have to be careful that we don't disciple like we used to, because obviously we left that behind because it wasn't working. It doesn't mean we don't make disciples, because obviously that's scriptural. It's just how we go about it. I remember God telling me once when Steve and I first started pastoring, He said, you know, you guys aren't very good at making disciples. I'm like, thanks for the encouraging word. You know, because we were getting people saved. We just couldn't keep them saved. And He said, it's because you're trying to get them to act like Jesus instead of believe like Jesus. And people can only act for so long. And they're going to get tired and weary. I've done it. I've tried to act like a Christian. There was no life in it. So there's something about believing, receiving. If we can make disciples of not people that just are acting like him, but their very being is radiating something from heaven. You know, and not get caught up with, oh, you know, it's bad for the church image because these people are such a mess. Well, where else should they be? So, anyway, you guys are in for it. Sorry, too late. I want to read some scripture. I was telling Melinda that I usually kind of know where I'm going, even though it may change when I get up to preach anywhere. But all he did today was he said, just read the scripture and trust that I'll give you something. So here we go. Got to take my glasses off to see. It's kind of prophetic. I can either see the word or I can see you. Make my choice. Okay, so it's in Ephesians 1. And starting with verse 17. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm going to read more, but I just want to make a comment on this because I've been meditating on this part of the scripture. And a lot of times when we want wisdom, we want words. Give me wisdom. Should I say yes? What should I say? Should I not say anything? And we're so focused on trying to get information that we don't realize it's a spirit. When someone is possessed by a demonic spirit, when they receive a spirit within them, it's not the spirit giving them things to say. The spirit is speaking through them. Do you see the difference? I mean, I actually had one experience where I was praying for a lady and she started manifesting and she turned and looked at me and actually spoke to me in a male voice that was not hers. The demon didn't say, hey, say this to Wendy. But we're not receiving the wisdom because we're waiting for words instead of believing we've received a spirit that dwells within us. Steve and I have been kind of into praying scripture lately, and he's the one who kind of taught me how to do this, but it's so much fun to take scripture like this where it says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then you just read that, and then you just start saying things like, oh, God, thank you that you've given me not only words of knowledge, but you've given me a spirit of wisdom, so I will always know what to do. I just receive that spirit of wisdom. I invite you into my life, and you actually make the scripture yours. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. That's the knowing of him. You don't get it any other way except through relationship. Well, I take that back. Sometimes God sovereignly will just pour it out. I've seen non-Christians actually get a spirit of revelation. But that's just something that falls on them. It's not theirs. The more we know him, the more we go after connection with him, the more this stuff begins to manifest. Revelation. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling? What is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints? How many here want to know what the glorious inheritance in us is? I mean, why is it, you know, if somebody told you that, you know, some great-great uncle that you never met and you have no idea who or what he was, and the lawyer comes and says, he left you everything. You get to inherit everything he had. Would you just go, oh, that's so cool? Or would you go, what did I inherit? Sometimes we're not asking the right questions. It's like we just think, he'll just zap me with it when he needs to. No. We need to know what he's given us. What is this glorious inheritance that's in us and for us? It actually means we've already received it, but it's hard to use it if you don't know what's in there. If you just think you're just the old you and the old habit patterns and sinfulness or the wrong desires is, and you think that's all that's in you, that's all you'll reveal. But when you begin to believe that there is a glorious inheritance within you, just waiting for you to know what it is, the problem is it's too glorious for us to actually be able to believe it's ours. I was thinking about the video we were talking about. He mentioned about, you know, we think it's, sometimes we get these prophetic words and they're just so big and it's like, God, I don't know how you can do that. And he said, yeah, well, think how Mary felt when the angel gave her a prophetic word. Yeah, you're going to give birth to the Son of God. How would you react to that? I mean, there was no history of that. There was no precedence for it. It was like, can you show me in Scripture how that could be? Let alone the feeling of inadequacy and unworthiness that she must, I mean, because she's just like us. And yet God's giving us these glorious inheritance, and there's a part of us that I think a little bit of us knows how glorious it is. We just are not allowing it to take its full conception because it seems too glorious for us. Because we still see ourselves as just a small human being that's not worthy enough. And we tend to think everybody else is more worthy. Trust me, they're not. I'm not up here because I'm more worthy. I just decided to start believing what he was saying. It's all about believing. He's put something within me, and he's waiting, he's searching for someone who's willing to receive something that's so glorious within them that he wants to give birth to. Who's the Word? Jesus. And what is the Word represented as in the Bible? A seed. A seed. Jesus said in John 17, Father, the same glory you gave me, I have given them. The question is why is there so many Christians walking around without any glory? We're afraid of it. What will people say? Who do they think they are? I'll tell you who I think I am. I think I'm a whole new creation like this planet has never seen before. I am not even human anymore. And you're not either. If you've been born again, you're a whole new creation with capabilities that the world has never even dreamed of. And we need to shake off the limitations of the natural realm. We have been allowing the laws of this realm to determine our future. Because we have more faith in this realm than his realm. And I'm not pointing fingers. I mean, I have more faith in this realm than his realm. But I know what I'm going after. One of the words that God, you know, have you ever noticed that God dwells in certain words in certain seasons? Has anybody else experienced that? It's kind of like, it is so weird how someone will, you know, they're like, oh, I want a name that's really different for my child. And so you like practically make it up. And then you hear, oh, there's 100 other people that have somehow chosen that name out of midair. And it's the most popular name now in school. What is that? God actually, I believe, he drops this favor on a name, and it probably has something to do with the season or generation of those kids, of what's going to be happening. So it might be good to just take note. Moving a little bit off of here, but so anyway, the word that he's been highlighting to me has been focus. Because whatever we focus on, we magnify and we empower. And too often we're good Christians, and we know, okay, I'm not going to focus on that because that just, you know, doesn't do any good, and it, you know, it breeds discontent or whatever. But we don't actually then focus on something. You can't walk around without a focus. If you don't get something new to focus on, you will continually go back to what you were focusing on. So it talks about the mind set on earthly things versus the mind set on heavenly things. And for some reason, we're thinking that just is, you know, setting our mind on working for God and, you know, building the kingdom here on earth. I don't think that's the fullness of it. Because it also says that unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom, which implies that if you are born again, you can see. And how often it talks about, like it did here, about opening the eyes or, you know, having eyes but not seeing.
ears but not hearing. It means that if you are a Christian born again of the Spirit, you're supposed to see more than you're seeing. Not because you're worthy, but because it's what you are. You're now Spirit. It only makes sense that you can see in the Spirit. And we are seeing in it. It just, the problem is because we haven't trained our brain to accept things that we don't understand, to accept things that don't fit our concept of reality, our brain is not allowing us to receive what our spirit is seeing. But you can change that. And part of that is giving your imagination to God and saying, God, I'm going to just trust that these things that you're giving me are the spirit that is one with you, seeing things in the unseen, and I'm just going to release it. Stop judging. Is that, you know, was that me? Was that God? Was that the enemy? The only way we're going to learn is through trial and error. But we're so afraid of making a mistake. Like God can't handle that. Oh no, they made a mistake. What are we going to do? Oh my gosh. I remember God told me once, he said, Wendy, just make me bigger than your mistakes. And it doesn't mean I'm flippant and I don't care. It just took the pressure off. Because the fear of making a mistake actually paralyzed me. What if I'm wrong? The better question is, what if you're right? You can change a life. I'd rather just step out and do it and trust God to cover if it was wrong. There have been times I've done and said things and it's like, oh, yeah, that wasn't even God. And for some reason, they don't remember it. And the same, I've preached sermons before and afterwards people will come up and go, oh, you know, when you said blah, 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 that just set me free. And I've never said it out loud, but I've thought, I didn't say that. It was true. It was God speaking to you. You thought you saw it coming out of my mouth. How big is your God? We're going to make him bigger. I mean, we can't literally make him bigger. When we make him more magnified in our sight, then he's more able to reveal his bigness. Okay, so I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I want to just pray this over us. And we're just going to receive this. You know, we're really good at asking and praying for things. Body of Christ, not so good at receiving. By faith. We're waiting for God to zap. We're waiting for proof that it happened. And there are many people who are saved today that when they asked Jesus in their heart, they felt nothing, they saw nothing, there was no proof. And yet, if you were leading them to the Lord, you would say, you did it, it happened. You did it, it happened. You received Jesus, he came. We could maybe even apply that to healing. many of you got saved, but there was no manifestation that you were righteous? And we struggled with, well, does that mean I'm not saved? And people, because they know the scripture, they're like, no, you're saved. You don't feel saved yet. You don't have the manifestation that you're different yet, but you are. You're a whole new being. Did you receive healing? Yes, I did. I don't have my manifestation yet, but by faith I receive. Okay, so, Father, I thank you that this is an eye-opening season where the eyes of our understanding are being opened to the riches of the glory of Christ. Our eyes are being opened to the things of the Spirit. We are beginning to see the unseen realm as if it is just as clear as the natural. I thank you that we are able to fix our eyes on the unseen realm and able to know what to do with what we see. We thank you that our ears are being opened. We thank you that this is a time of receiving like never before. So we just receive eyes to see, ears to hear, just by faith. Eyes to see. Ho! Eyes to see, ears to hear. We just receive it and we lean into it. And Father, I pray that we will have understanding of the process, that it doesn't have to happen. We don't have to see like some big, mighty prophet, but we're going to trust the still, small voice that says, there's an angel in the room. And we're going to trust that our spirit is trying to tell us what it sees. The eyes of the Spirit. The eyes of the Spirit have always been able to see. We just haven't listened to what it's seen. Amen. Okay. Verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of his strength? I'm going to keep going. According to the mighty working of his strength, he exercised this power, talking about God, in Christ by raising him from the dead and seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he subjected everything under his feet, and appointed him as head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. And I'm going to read that out of the New King James, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Father, let us see the enemy and how he is subjected under our feet. Because Christ is the head, we are the body, and where is the feet? The feet does not dwell on the head. The feet is attached to the body. It's like, why is he praying this for these people? Why do we need to see these things? Why do we need to understand these things? And why aren't we going after it? What if we started making disciples based on the risen Christ? In 1 John, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. It's time to stop modeling ourselves after an earthly Jesus. We've been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live. But the life we live by faith in the Son of God. And if we've been crucified with him, we've also been raised with him. I don't want to make disciples that are little robots and who are trying their hardest to look good. I want to disciple people who go into the heavenlies and they see the things of heaven and they've got a prophetic voice and they know who they are in Christ and they carry power and authority to put the enemy under their feet and to set captives free and to rebuild ruined cities and ruined people and not just tell them stop being addicted, but instead they have the power to break the addiction. And I don't care, it's not just about addiction to drugs, it's addiction to sin, it's addiction to anger, it's addiction to shame. It's an addiction to believing that we're not enough and that there's nothing in us. We have to start releasing who Christ is in us. That's the kind of discipleship I want to see start going, and I believe that that's what you guys are going to do, all of you. Because I think all of you have experienced the hopelessness of just trying hard to be a good Christian. I don't even want to do it without the power, because that's just setting myself up for failure. If we could live the Christian life without the power and authority of what the blood does, then Jesus didn't need to die. If there is a way to get free without Jesus, and it's not just, you know, you're a Christian, now just do it. It's like, I tried that. I need something supernatural. And something's happening. Even in me, this is a whole new season where I've always loved to sleep. You know, it's quite nice to get a good night's sleep and, you know, kind of you wake up and you really don't want to leave your comfy bed and, you know, just another 15 minutes and, you know, that's me. But I've been being woken up anywhere from 3:30, usually 4:30, and I'm getting up excited. And the one thing I am confident about is that it's not natural. It's like I am taking no glory for this because it's not something I could make myself do. And I want more of that. I want the supernatural Spirit of God to rise up within me and cause me. I mean, you know, when people are drunk on the spirits of alcohol, they do things they normally wouldn't do. Under the influence, they're not like, oh, you know, I should get in a fight, or I should yell at that person even though I'm normally quiet. They don't think about it. They don't try to make themselves be obnoxious or whatever it is they do when they get drunk. The Spirit moves them. I want to be that full of the Spirit that I do things that I would never have thought I would do. And I want to tell people about a Jesus and a Spirit that can come in them and upon them and totally change their life and find out that they are not what they thought they were and that there is a way to be free. And it's about receiving and believing and being okay with the process. The last verse, which I read, which was 23, says, which is his body? Who's his body? The fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Let's pray and receive that right now. Father, we thank you that we are your body and that you have filled us with the fullness of Christ Jesus, and you have filled all things within us, every area of our life, our physical body, our emotional parts, our mind and brain, every part of us. We give you permission to fill us in all things in every way. In all things, in every way. And what I'd like you to do is just close your eyes and think about what I said about Mary being prophesied over, that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. And Jesus is the seed, and he's in you, and he wants you to give birth to something that is supernatural. He is filling you right now with the seed of his glory and presence and power, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now filling you, not because it needs a place to live, but because it wants to manifest through you. So just like you received Jesus as Savior, just in your heart, receive him as the power and the glory that he wants to birth in you and through you. It seems too big. You may feel like you don't deserve to manifest the Son of God, but it's not about you. Demons don't walk around, I don't know, is that person worthy enough for us to manifest through? No, they just want to show themselves off. And Jesus wants to manifest through you. And I feel like God's saying we need to spend time, because when a seed is planted, like when you're impregnated with a child, there's a season where it's growing within you and you're nourishing it and you're dreaming of what it's going to look like and what the future holds with this child now in our lives. And so we want to nourish the revelation of Christ in us, the fullness of who he is, until we actually give birth and manifest the glorious Jesus. Not by trying harder, but just by meditating and dreaming, I am pregnant with God. I'm pregnant with God. I cannot help but begin to grow from the inside out. And as I feed on the word and the seed, whatever God is planting within me, is all of a sudden people are noticing something different about my body and wondering, you know, is she pregnant? Yes. And you're pregnant. It's a new season. Forgetting what lies behind. It is not worthy to even think about anymore in comparison to the great inheritance and glory of God that God wants to see birth through you, to manifest through you. Stop trying to fix what's dead and just present yourself as alive to God. Every morning when you have your prayer time, just say these words, Father, I present myself as alive to you. I'm not bringing my old dead self with me to the prayer room. I'm not bringing my past to the prayer room. I'm bringing my resurrected being into the prayer room so we can move on and take our place of authority seated in heavenly places and begin to declare the freedom and the word of God over the land and begin to heal the land physically and in mankind itself. So thank you, Father. We just receive. I thank you that everyone here is now pregnant. I speak protection over what you've planted within them. And may it come to fruition. In Jesus' name. Well, that was fun. Melinda, do you have any prophetic words? Surprise, surprise. I knew.
Wow, isn't that amazing? Thank you so much, Wendy. That was just, oh my goodness. Wendy has just taught me so much and just expanded what I think is possible in God. So we're just so grateful for you. Thank you. But Pastors Lisa and Phil, I was praying for you guys. And I heard, first of all, when I walked into the building, I immediately thought of John G. Lake. And I thought, I've been to the healing rooms in Spokane. And I actually remember the anointing I felt when I walked in the building. And the original building isn't standing anymore, but they have another building. And there's still a carpet there from the original building if you've ever been there. And I had this sense when I walked into the building, oh, this is a healing house. And God is pouring out an anointing for healing. And I see the sick coming here and you laying hands on them and them recovering. And I heard Acts 10:38, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And of course, that's dunamis, the power to perform miracles. And Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And I heard God say, this is a house of healing. And like Wendy was talking about the people coming, and I hear people are coming, and get ready, and Jesus is the great physician, and he's going to do it, but he's going to use you, the people of the church, the body, to bring healing. So I just bless this house, and I thank you, Lord, for the healing and the anointing of this house. And I believe it's for everyone in this room. It's not just for the pastors. I believe that the pastors will carry this anointing, and that the people, you're going to start to see manifested healing even at a greater level. I believe you've seen some here and there, like trickling, but it's going to be just a greater increase of healing. So I bless this house and the people that God is sending in Jesus' name.